From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been 1 week since President Joe Biden was inaugurated, 2 weeks since the U.S. House of Representatives impeached his predecessor, then-President Donald Trump, and 3 weeks since a mob of Trump supporters attacked Capitol and D.C. police, broke into the Capitol building, and delayed the certification of the presidential election. My first guest today was present for all three of those events. Rodney Davis is a Republican member of Congress representing the 13th District in central Illinois. It's a big district taking in all or part of Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Bloomington, Springfield, and parts of the Metro East across the river from St. Louis. Congressman Davis, welcome back to the 21st.
Hey, great to be on. Ryan, thanks for having me again.
And listeners, we're going to open the phone lines, but our time with the congressman is short, so we're prioritizing calls from his constituents today. If you have a direct question, live in his district, join the conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Congressman, I want to begin with a short question. Who won the presidential election?
Joe Biden.
And acknowledging the fact that there are always problems here and there, was it, in your view, a free and fair election?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is a question that there is some controversy about these days. So I want to ask you, on the day of the Capitol riot or insurrection, whatever you want to call it, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said, "Self-government, my colleagues, requires a shared commitment to the truth and a shared respect to the ground rules of our system. We cannot keep drifting apart into two separate tribes with two different sets of facts and separate realities." So, Congressman Davis, as evidenced by your answers to my initial questions there, you did not support the move to reject the election results, but a majority of your colleagues did. And I wonder, do you feel like you and they are working under the same set of facts and inhabiting, in Senator McConnell's words, the same reality?
Well, I voted to uphold my constitutional duties under the 12th Amendment to certify electors. Obviously, there weren't this many conversations about this issue in 2005 when many of my colleagues who are still in Congress voted to not certify the electors from Ohio when George W. Bush was the clear winner of the state of Ohio. That's their prerogative. They represent their constituents. They wanted to have a voice, but in no way did I see a path that there was ever going to be a non-certification of the electors. I did my job, as a matter of fact, was one of the tellers early that day and early into the next morning when I left the floor at 4 a.m. when we finally certified the last state. And that does not, and again, based on your comments just a few minutes ago, I don't want anybody to take into consideration that there was no fraud in any election. And I think the widespread misinformation about widespread fraud that is not true, that was spread by many, it only stops us from investigating the true fraud that happens in every election. And that's very frustrating to me.
Sure. But I mean, as I think I hear you saying, there is a difference between acknowledging that there is isolated fraud here and there in different, you know, be it in a particular city or even in a particular county or something like that. But that's different than saying that would have been enough to sway the election. And I'm trying to figure out, why do you think so many of your colleagues were convinced that their constitutional duty was to reject the election results?
That's a question that you'll need to ask them. Clearly, I felt differently. They represent much different districts than mine. But I think it's fair to also ask Democrats who are still serving why they and their constituents urged them to vote against certifying Ohio's electors in 2004. There can't be a double standard.
So after a week later, that was January 6th, on January, 13th, I believe, 10 of your colleagues, including fellow Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, voted to impeach the president. You did not. President Trump's The impeachment was based on his comments at the rally before the riot on January 6th. But a lot of people have also pointed to the 2 months prior to that, where he repeatedly talked about this false narrative that there was this widespread fraud costing him the election. Why did you decide that, be it the 2 months leading up to the rally or the rally itself, his comments there did not warrant impeachment of the president?
The impeachment process was a political impeachment process. The president was leaving office. He lost the election in a matter of days. And just as I fulfilled my constitutional duty under the 12th Amendment to certify the electors, I also believe I'm fulfilling my constitutional duty to protect the impeachment process from politics. And unfortunately, what we're going to see now, I believe, when we have a House of Representatives that's different, a different party than the president, you're going to see political impeachments in perpetuity. It's wrong. It was rushed. There were no hearings. There was no evidence. And if we're going to talk about impeaching individuals for inciting violence, it's going to be a very difficult time in Congress and in this country, because it's going to continue to be a back and forth. There is disturbing rhetoric that comes from a lot of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle that I don't agree with. You know, it's rhetoric like Nancy Pelosi's Republicans are killing people that led a crazed gunman to scream healthcare while he was firing at me and my friends on a baseball field. Did we impeach Nancy Pelosi because of that? It's not her fault. I'm a Republican because I believe in personal responsibility. Those who rioted at the Capitol, the gunmen who fired at me and my friends, they're the ones that are responsible for their actions.
I want to go now to the phones. We have a caller on the line from Urbana. Stephen, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, Representative David, your equivocation of the firing of a single gunman at your softball team and the insurrection at the Capitol is an abomination. And
okay,
your failure to distinguish that is one of the greatest misrepresentations of the truth I've
ever heard. Okay, thank you, Steve. We want to keep this to questions. Appreciate you calling in. Congressman Davis, I think the core of, I will try to reshape that into a question. Where do you see the continuum of the shooting where your colleague, Steve Scalise, was significantly wounded at that incident, and where your own life and the lives of your colleagues were endangered by this mob armed with bear spray, metal batons, in some cases, some carrying handcuffs, stormed into the Capitol building?
Well, I will tell you from experiencing both. The most dangerous one was on the baseball field when live bullets were being fired at us. You know, Stephen is pretty typical of the political intoxication we have in this country right now, where only Republican members of Congress can't use their own experience in being in a violent situation as an experience that would rise to the level of comparing that to another life-threatening moment, which was January 6th. Both of them were equally disturbing. Both of them were equally terrorizing. Although I would say running from live bullets was a little bit more terrorizing than evacuating the Capitol. But what it did teach me, Brian, it taught me calmness during another emergency that we saw on January 6th, so much so that I spent my time making sure that my colleagues had the equipment they needed to get them off the House floor, and along with a very brave Capitol Police officer, helped carry one of my colleagues down the stairs since he couldn't walk fast enough because he was being treated for lung cancer. Those are the types of experiences I hope no one has to experience anymore. But because of what happened to me and my colleagues in June of 2017, it helped me better prepare for this.
So I want to return to this question about impeachment. So if you believe this is a political process, should the president be held in some way accountable for his reaction to the election, right? I mean, it's one answer to say the voters had their say and a majority of voters decided that he should no longer be the president, but then he rejected the election. Should there be consequences for him sort of undermining the very, you know, key element of our democratic process?
Well, what do you recommend? We weren't given an opportunity to vote on anything but impeachment, so it's kind of a moot point.
Well, I mean, there could be censure after the fact. And I mean, you know,
we're not in charge of the House.
Yeah.
I can only vote on what's in front of me. I mean, we can all speculate about what could and should happen. Should the president be held accountable? I think my comments immediately afterwards were absolutely the president should be held accountable, but he was held accountable. He's no longer president anymore. But in the end, I can only vote on what the Democrats allow us to vote on since they're in charge. So there was no censure resolution. which I'm sure would have garnered more Republican support depending on how it's written. But at the same time, when are we going to censure individuals for doing the exact same thing in the past, just on the other side of the political spectrum? It's no wonder why folks in this country just don't trust what they're being told. It's frustrating. It's just as frustrating when you see lawyers like Rudy Giuliani create what I consider a clown car of legal advice that the president was fed and was not true and was never proven in court. They are 0 for 60 in the court of law. What they were saying in press conferences clearly was not what they were laying out in their court cases. And it's wrong. I call that out. But you also have to call out the misinformation that comes from the Democrats. It's no wonder that only 13% of 75 million Republican voters in this country trust that the media is going to give them fair and balanced news.
I want to reintroduce my guest. He is Congressman Rodney Davis from the 13th District. He's a Republican. The 13th District includes much of central Illinois. I want to turn now, in the time we have remaining, to President Biden's inaugural address. He made a plea for unity. I'm curious what that means to you. And also, let me just start there. What briefly, and again, we're short on time, what do you make of the president's call for unity? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think actions speak louder than words. I think Joe Biden has the potential to be a unifying president, but he hasn't shown me that in the first few days with all of the executive orders that are just placating the far left. We're losing 11,000 good paying union jobs because he decided to end the Keystone Pipeline project that's taking away jobs from many Illinoisans and many in the Midwest. That oil's still going to come into the country in a less environmentally friendly way. It's going to come via trucks. And that is something that I disagree with the president on. I like Joe Biden as a person. I flew with him on Air Force Two to Champaign, Illinois, in Urbana in 2015 to rally against campus sexual assault. I worked with President Biden on his moonshot of eradication of cancer program and did programs in 2018 in consultation with what he was doing nationwide. There is a lot of potential. The problem is he's going to have to show better leadership and better actions in unifying the country, like he could have by stopping this political impeachment process, but he chose not to.
Yeah, there was a Pew poll earlier this month that asked Democrats if they thought it was a good idea for the president to try to work with Republican leaders to accomplish things, even if it meant disappointing Democratic voters. 62% of Democrats said yes. But when that question was flipped for Republicans, should Republican leaders work with Biden to accomplish things, even if it means disappointing Republicans, just 38% said yes. So 62 Democrats say work across the aisle, 38% of Republicans say work across the aisle. What do you make of that difference?
Well, I'm not surprised. However, President Biden isn't listening to the Democrats, the majority of Democrats who want him to work with us. He's doing executive order after executive order when we should be addressing these things in a bipartisan way in the House and the Senate.
But what about Republicans who apparently don't want you to work across the aisle? That's something you often talk up, bipartisan bills you've sponsored in the past. What do you say to those constituents?
I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk when it comes to bipartisanship. I'm ranked the 13th most bipartisan member of the House of Representatives. But at the same time, if you would have asked that question just a year ago when President Trump was in office, I bet you that the numbers would have been reversed. There are a lot of Republicans very frustrated with the way that President Trump was treated by Democrats throughout the entire conspiracy of the Russia hoax, and they're very upset about how the president was treated by the media, whereas they don't see that same type of treatment coming towards Democrats. And it helps to lead to a very partisan country, something that I've tried to help people move away from. But it doesn't negate the truth.
Yeah. We have just less than a minute left. I want to ask sort of a big picture question I'm putting to every political leader I interview this year. What, in your view, is the purpose of politics? What is politics for?
Politics is a necessity for getting governing done. You have to go through the political process to be elected by your constituents to be able to make decisions and put good policies in place.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it there. Congressman Davis, I want to thank you for joining us again on the 21st.
Absolutely. Great to be on.
Congressman Rodney Davis is a Republican. He represents the 13th District in Central Illinois. It includes all or part of Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Bloomington, Springfield, and parts of the Metro East. Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about running for office. Maybe you have been inspired in the past few months, in the past few years, to try and make a run for office. We're going to be talking about how best to do that with some experts on the subject. This is the 21st. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from Christy Clinic. Christy Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christy Clinic is focused on caring for the community.